Welcome to Hometown Heroes, an Armor of God Catholic radio series that features men and women across Central Texas who are giving of themselves, who continue to make sacrifices for others, and whose love for their fellow man is exceptional. We'll talk about them, their passions, and their labors for the Lord, and we'll learn why so many people around them call them heroes. You'll be inspired, enlightened, and just plain entertained. And today I'm with John Valentine, founder and director of Operation Phantom Support. John, welcome to the maiden voyage of Hometown Heroes.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate your time and the opportunity to speak to you guys today. It's awesome.
So tell me a little bit, what is Operation Phantom Support?
So Operation Phantom Support, we're actually an active duty military, veteran, and first responder nonprofit. We assist soldiers, veterans, and first responders and their families with day-to-day living assistance. So we try to help them with things that impact their lives day-to-day, basically help them make it from month to month, from paycheck to paycheck, and just make things a little easier for their families and just try to help them out there.
And what does that help entail?
Well, we have 9 programs that we run that help with those type of things. One of our biggest ones is our food pantry that runs, right now it's running 4 times a month. They can come 4 times a month to get food. We have a free birthday cake program, a free Christmas toy program, a free backpack program for school, a car repair program, a tire replacement program, an adult special needs program for kids who have phased out of high school that have special needs and their families need somewhere, you know, to bring them somewhere so they can continue their normal daily life. So we've instituted a program to help with those families. So those special needs kids come here and they work with us and volunteer with us during the day. And just, you know, we're always looking to expand some of those programs and do some other things. But those core programs have been what we've been using for the last 7 years that have really made the biggest impact on the families in the area here, because it helps them save money at the grocery store. It gets them free birthday cakes and Christmas toys and backpacks and supplies for school. It helps get their car repaired, tires replaced on their car. So we try to focus on programs that are going to impact their lives day to day. So that's kind of what we do.
Yeah, that's awesome. So where did you get this, the inspiration for OPS?
Well, honestly, after serving 20 years in the Army and deploying 6 times and here at Fort Hood, my last couple years in the Army as a first sergeant and a platoon sergeant, I would have soldiers come to me all the time and say, "Hey, Sergeant V, I paid all my bills and everything, but I don't have any money for groceries." So I'd reach in my pocket, give them $200 and say, "Okay, go get groceries. And when you're done, come back. Let's sit down and look at your budget to see what we can do to figure out where we can save you some money or get this figured out for you." But then I started thinking, okay, as a first sergeant and a platoon sergeant, I looked at it and said, what are resources in the area around Fort Hood that could help with this? And I couldn't find any that were specific that could help with a multitude of those areas, because our food pantry also provides diapers and diapers and baby formula and all that kind of stuff too. So, but I couldn't find anything out there. So I was like, you know what? You know, I'm going to retire here in the next 6 months or whatever, 7 months. I said, you know, I could probably do something to make an impact on this community, kind of pay it forward for the soldiers that are still serving after I get out, and then help out the veterans that are in the area that might be struggling since they've gotten out of the military. So I told myself I'll take some time, think it through. I had a few jobs when I got out of the Army. I worked as a juvenile detention drill instructor for a year down in Williamson County. And then I worked at Cedar Crest Hospital for a year as their military liaison. But after about a year working at that hospital, I decided, hey, it's time for me to do this. So I stopped, opened up the charity, first registered for a nonprofit 501c3, got it open, got a team of people that I could trust and that I loved that could come in and help me. And we built it out and just been going super strong ever since. So it was kind of a culmination of my military experience and then the need of the soldiers that were coming to me at the end of my career talking about, you know, I paid all my bills, but I still just don't have enough to make it. So I had to come up with something that could help them. So the food pantry is huge, because the soldier comes to all 4 pantries in a month. They get about $300 worth of food in value based on what they would spend at the store. So I tell them, look, if you come, you donate $20 a month, then you come here and get $300 worth of food. It's helping you at the grocery store. So now when your $500 a month grocery bill just went down to maybe $200 or $100, because we're giving you more. And it's all, we don't give out just canned food. We give out fresh fruits and vegetables, meats, frozen dinners, breads and pastries. So our pantry is more focused on the soldier taking the food home and have to use it. He can't put it in a cupboard and forget about it. He's got to use it or it's going to go bad. So it kind of forces him to use the potatoes and the carrots and the lettuce or the cabbage that we give him, and they use it all. And then we give him meat too. Like last week we gave out 10 pound bags of chicken. I mean, they were getting 10 pound bags of quartered chicken. So, I mean, families were like, whoa. So they were able to use that and extend it and, you know, make dinners and have leftovers. So the big thing came right there from being in the Army and just seeing the struggle and some of the active duty soldiers go through it. Then I knew in my head, there's got to be veterans out there struggling too. And yeah, Believe me, there are veterans out there that are struggling. So
when did OPS first stand up?
January 2014. We just hit our 7-year mark this year that we've been open, which, is a big deal because, you know, nationwide, most nonprofits don't make it 5 years. I told my team yesterday, or that, you know, on our anniversary date, that hey, we've come a long way, and we're still growing and doing things great. So just keep it up, you know. That's kind of what we got to do.
Well, happy anniversary! A little bit late.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
that you talked about the timeline and the fact that most nonprofits don't make it more than 5 years, and so that's a pretty big. I'm not sure everybody really understands it.
50% don't make it 5 years. So if 100 nonprofits start this year, 50 of them aren't going to make it more than 5 years. And then out of that 50, only 33% of those actually financially are okay. The other part of it, still they're struggling to even stay open, and they usually end up folding because their foundation wasn't built. And that's the thing I think that's been strong for us, is I tried to build a really fortified foundation when we built this out. Like, I made sure we had took babies. Now, I did stretch things out. I did go a little fast on some things because I really wanted to do more. But I think our foundation was so strong that it made us establish what we're doing. Plus, the concept of our nonprofit is all of us as soldiers and veterans chipping in to help each other. Yeah. I don't look for federal money. I don't look for state money. I just, hey, just donate $20 a month and you're a part of the team. Your family's helping my family's helping your family. So we're all chipping in as battle buddies to help each other. And that's kind of the attitude we had in the military. We all looked out for each other in the military. Well, even if we're in or we're not in, but we're still connected, let's keep looking out for each other. So I built our nonprofit to be more of all of us chipping in and supporting each other. The problem with that is, that money only goes so far. That's why you have to reach out to the community from time to time and say, hey, we need a little help here. And like right now with COVID, we're in a desperate need now to keep our doors open, because our donation has gone down about 70% because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And a lot of families that were dual income now are only single income. Mm-hmm. So they basically stopped all their outside stuff that they didn't have to do to make it. So a lot of people stopped their donations here with us. So we've gone from, you know, 100% of donations coming down to, and it's slowly been trickling down. But now, since we've turned the corner in 2021, last month, I think we were at 37% of our normal income. Yeah. And we're able to kind of struggle and survive. A lot of my staff took pay cuts. Of course, I don't get paid. I've never paid myself here because that wasn't something I wanted to do. But my staff has taken pay cuts. We've cut corners on things. We've had to pause like the car repair program for a couple months just to make sure we had enough budget money, because our food pantry spends most of our money because of the cost for all that. Mm-hmm. But it's been a struggle. So we're out there asking the community now to help us out a little bit with a little bit of extra so we can make it through. We've applied for our PPE loan. So hopefully that'll get approved here soon, and that'll help us too. That'll push us out for a couple months. But that's only going to save us a couple more months, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we got to hope that, you know, the vaccines start helping everybody and getting everybody kind of semi back to normal. Yeah. So we can get back to semi-normal.
So you mentioned some of your food pantry and some of your other resources. Can you talk a little bit more about what you provide right here in the heart of Killeen?
Yeah, so the biggest thing is our food pantry. We give out about anywhere between 25,000 to 30,000 pounds of food every Saturday. 500 to 600 families come through every Saturday. So you're talking, you know, 2,500 to 2,800 people a month is the average. Last Saturday was a little slow because there was a big event going on in Temple, I think. But the Saturday before that, we had 607 come through. And the Saturday before that was 582. So there's this big need for food right now because people's budgets are so tight because of COVID and everything else. So they're trying to save money wherever they can. You know what I mean? And knowing they can come and get some free food here, they come here. You know, they'll come here and get food and helping us out by just donating what they can afford to donate. And it's a challenge, you know. The food bank and the Central Texas Food Bank does everything they can to try to support what we're doing. But we do have to pay for the food because technically we're not paying for the food. We're paying for storage and delivery. But, you know, there's cost to everything. I tell people that all the time, whether you're a nonprofit or not, there's still a cost. We might not pay tax on something, but we still got to buy something. So there's still always a cost in our nation and what we do in America. So there's always a little bit of a cost. There are some flat-out free donations that we get from time to time, but most things we do end up paying for them somewhere or another, whether it's using our truck to go pick it up or whatever. We still got to pay for gas, pay for the truck, pay for the insurance. So there's always a cost for everything, and that's why I tell people, I said, so every dollar we raise, it makes an impact with us because we can take that money and put it into the programs and make sure we're supporting the soldiers the best we can. So it's important.
Are you guys, or how well, rather, integrated are you with other food pantries across the region here? I know there's a lot of other food pantries that some of them only work a few hours in a month or in a week. Because I know that there's always this concern that there's people who are exploiting the system, you know, and drive around town and just pick up food all over the area to give to all their friends and family in their neighborhood. So how well do you guys integrate to prevent some of that and make sure the people who need the food are the ones getting the food?
Well, I mean, we coordinate, especially here at the Clean Food Secure Center with Raymond and his team over here, right here across the street over here on 10th Street. They're right here. They're probably the largest. Now, Central Texas Food Bank has over 300 partners that get food from their food bank, right? So, and I'll be honest with you, most of the food pantries in our counties and in our areas are all run by churches, for the most part. There's a few big ones like mine and Raymond's that are kind of more of a little bit different format. But the brothers one over at the Catholic Church here in town, they do a really great job of taking care of their people. And we are more than willing to coordinate, share lists of people who get food from us with other organizations. We've only done that with one other organization that reached out to us. And I'll be honest with you, I am a big proponent of, you know, no family should be without food. I've never turned anybody away from it. Now, our pantry focuses on military veterans and first responders, but if a civilian shows up to get food, we explain how we work, but we still give them food because they came to us and they need to go home with food because they came here with the expectation they're going to have food. And I agree with you. I think a lot of there are some people out there that do kind of bounce from pantry to pantry and try to maximize what they can get. But I look at it this way: is like, if they're sharing it with friends and family, then I don't have a problem with that. But if they were hoarding it at their house, that's when I would have a problem. Yeah. If they were hoarding and putting it all in their freezers or whatever, and they're just being selfish.
Yeah.
It's different if they're not being selfish and they're trying to share it with other family members and they're the ones that got the car and they can run around and do it. Because I've even had families ask me, like, hey, can I pick something up for my neighbor? And I'm like, well, who's your neighbor? And they're like, yeah, you can grab some. Grab a bag. You know what I'm saying? If you're really going to give it to your neighbor.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a faith, now we're not a faith-based nonprofit. We're more of a strict, I said, but, you know, most of my staff has a faith. I was baptized Catholic when I was a kid. I'm not the best Catholic in the world, but I do try to keep God in my heart when I'm doing things for people, and because I want to believe that I'm a good human being. And then when I look at a family that's in need, I'm not looking at their race, their color, their gender, their anything. I'm looking at the need, which is they need food to feed their family. That's why we don't turn anybody away from food. We feed the homeless. We have pre-packed bags for homeless people when they walk by to make sure they have food, water, things like that. So, you know, my biggest point with working with other food pantries is this. If they want my support, all they got to do is ask, because I'll be there for them, because it's a soul mission that we all have. We're trying to make sure our community has food, their families are, you know, healthy, and they have food to eat, and they're okay. And I'm more than willing to work with any nonprofit in the area to make sure that mission, which is to make sure families have food, is done. So, but as far as that part of it, you know, a lot of food pantries too, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of people that run food pantries, they're a little bit protective of how they do things and the way they do them, just because they're trying to. You know, they're trying to make sure they're managing what they're doing the best that they can.
Sure.
So sharing things and doing things sometimes is a little bit of a challenge. I said, but the food bank does a good job of bringing us all together as leaders of those food pantries. And we sit down, and usually once a quarter, they have a big meeting up in Austin we go to, and we all sit down and talk to each other. And we voice what's going on with us. And then some people are like, yeah, that's us going on with us too. So we talk. So
that's good.
But like I know a lot of the shelters around, or a lot of the pantries around here, because they know us, because we've actually helped them, because we can order a lot of food because we have a lot of storage facilities.
Yeah.
And a lot of the pantries around here don't have a lot of storage facilities. Because I know there's one of the churches down the street here needed some support because they didn't have enough freezer space. So I said, well, order it. You can bring it to us. We'll hold it for you. And then you can just come pick it up. So
awesome.
We're more than willing to work with another food pantry to help them if we can help them, because it's about the mission of making sure this community, regardless of what you are, because like I said, our food pantry, every third Saturday of the month, anybody in the community can come to our pantry, civilian, military, doesn't matter who they are. Every third Saturday, it's an open community pantry we run. So anybody can show up that day to get food from us anyway. So we really focus, because we really want to show the community that even though we're supporting military, the community matters to us because we all live here.
That's good.
So we try to make sure people know that. And we do have families that come, you know, and they'll ask, hey, can we get this? Yeah, we'll screw you. If you're looking for food, we're going to give it to you, because, you know, in the end, that's what it's really about, is make sure these families got food on their table.
So what about the thrift store? When I walked in, I saw you got, you know, pretty robust thrift store down here.
Yeah, can you talk about that? We're exactly like Goodwill or Salvation Army. Everybody, you can donate your items to us. Same tax write-off you get for donating to anywhere else. Our thrift store helps us cover our administrative costs, which is like the mortgage and the electric bill and things like that. Now, COVID has put a huge hit on that, because our store was averaging between $6,000 to $8,000 a month in revenue. But now in COVID, we're barely breaking, you know, 2,000 if we get to 2,000 some months. So because people are just not shopping as much, and our hours are very limited anyway. We're only open 4 hours a day, Wednesday through Friday. We're open from 10 to 2. And see, the thing is, now on our biggest pantry day, our biggest sales day at our thrift store every week was our Thursday and Saturday when we had pantry, because the ladies would come in and get food, but then they'd stay and shop for a little while.
Yeah.
But because of COVID, we're not allowing the store to be open during that, because we don't want the numbers of people in the store to get too big, because we're trying to think about everybody's safety.
Yeah,
sure. It's not about, we ask everybody to wear a mask and all that stuff, because that's the societal need. But the point is, the fewer people that are in the building, the fewer the less the chance of you catching it because it's not being spread as sure. You know, we have fans in there going to keep the air down, and we try to do everything we can, but it's all about safety. We have a lot of older veterans that come in here too, so they're more susceptible to the virus. So we want to make sure that we're providing the safest environment that we can. And the store, it's beautiful. My team takes a lot of effort and pride in the store. It's probably the nicest thrift store in Central Texas as far as spacing, the look, you know, the floor and mop gets swept every month. The bathroom is taken care of every day. So we make sure it's very comfortable when people come in the shop. And we try to put a lot of effort into it. My team does a lot of effort in putting it, making staging looks nice, and even the price tags look nice. They write them all in really nice handwriting and all stuff. So, well, we try to make an effort to make sure our thrift store gets some visibility. But right now with COVID, it's been a challenge because, you know, shopping's just down a little bit.
Yeah, you were talking earlier about the backpack drive and the Christmas toy drive. If I wanted to find out more about that, how do I find out more about your events that you schedule and organize?
Well, the easiest way to find out what we're doing is just follow us on Facebook, because we're pretty liberal on Facebook with events that are coming up, how to sign up, how to get involved. Because like our backpack program, the kid gets to come pick out whatever backpack he wants that's laid out, and then he goes over to another table and says, "Hey, I'm in third grade and I go to Copper's Cove." And then they'll give them a bag for Copper's Cove third grade, everything that they get in their supplies. So they get about $40, $50 worth of supplies plus the backpack. So you're talking every kid. But the easiest way is to just email us. If you really got a question, like if it's out of... Like right now, we're actually getting ready to start our drive to fundraise for the backpack program, because that's our next big giveaway, which is in August. Our next big event, which is in August. So we're actually doing our fundraising stuff right now. We're planning the fundraiser for it now, because we've got to raise about $5,000, because we do about five to 600 kids every year that come and get backpacks and school supplies from us. So it's one of our most expensive programs, to be honest with you, because we put of our general programs, which is like the birthday cakes, Christmas toys, and backpacks. Out of those three, the backpack program is the most expensive, because it costs us about, to buy all the supplies and the backpacks, it gets right around $4,000 or $5,000. Plus we have to buy other things too, supply, you know, like the plastic bags, put all supplies in. So there's a little bit of cost there. So if a person's out there and they're interested in those programs, they can definitely just email us and say, "Hey, I'm interested in finding out more about this resupply program." And then my team will email them back. So here's how it works. Here's how you would sign up. Here's when it's going to start. You know, so they'll get the information. We kind of have a template that's for each program. Yeah. And then we just tweak it based on the year or the timeline, you know, when we're going to do the giveaways and stuff. Because I've tried to simplify everything for my team so they don't have to do a lot of beating up. But they got the generic, you know, base of what we do, and then they just kind of add in the dates and times and how it does. But so yeah, you could just reach out to us via email or social media, or you can even call us during our work hours. We have a phone number on our Facebook page and our website. You can call us.
Okay.
And we'll answer the phone and answer your question right on the phone.
Could I go through that same avenue then, if I wanted to volunteer to help y'all out at one of these events?
Yeah, well, the volunteer part's a little bit different, because we need you to go through our website and click. There's a little volunteer link. You click and fill out some information, and then my volunteer coordinator reaches out to you directly so that they can set up a time for you to come in and get your kind of your briefing on how we do things here. I like to call it an orientation more than anything, but they get an orientation, kind of what we do, how it works. That way, we can also talk to volunteer. What do you really want to do? You want to help in the pantry? Do you want to help with projects? Do you want to help with an event? You know, what do you want to do? So we ask everybody to fill the information out, so we collect the data we need on you to keep it in our book, because we keep a record of everybody we have volunteers, because we also do background checks on all our volunteers. Nothing, you know, belligerently silly, but we do a generic background test, which costs us $10 per volunteer that signs up. But it's a good screener for us to make sure the person doesn't have any kind of, you know, inappropriate behavior that they've done in the past. And I'm not going to get into details of that, but you guys understand out there listening, it's more about just making sure everybody's safe here.
Yep.
And that's what we do to make sure that, so we ask everybody to fill that information out for us online. And then my volunteer coordinator, usually within a day or two, links up on the phone with you and says, "Hey, this is," and her name is Susan. "Hey, this is Susan from OPS. I'm the volunteer coordinator here. I just wanted to talk to you real quick about yada, yada, yada." And then they either schedule to come in, and they work out all that. Because we also send you to, because if you want to work at the pantry, you got to go to food handler's class, get a certificate. We pay for that to get you to the course. Yeah. You go to that, you get your little card, you bring it back, and then you're good to go to work in the pantry. So, you know, there's a little bit of coordination for that. So it's not quite as easy, but it is something we love. We get a lot of volunteers. We've got a lot of core volunteers that have been with us for years. They've been with us for years. Like one or two of my volunteers have been with us like the whole, like basically the whole 7 years I've been here. Wow. They're here every Saturday helping at the food pantry, and they're just amazing human beings. And that's what we love, because it's kind of like a big family here, you know. Even the people that come get food, they've been coming here so long, a lot of them, that they're like family to us. We all know them and their kids and everything else, so it's kind of fun.
That's awesome. I was actually looking at your website earlier.
Yeah.
And there was some mention about this Phantom Core. What's that all about?
So the Phantom Core is what we talked about earlier about the donation. Everybody donate $20. Mm-hmm. So that's where you sign up to become part of that core family of veterans and soldiers. We're all going to chip in. So that's where you would sign up to start your monthly $20 a month donation. So that's kind of the link. That's kind of what I call my donors, my Phantom Core donors. Mm-hmm. So they're part of the Phantom Core. And, you know, us as old military guys, we know what a core is, how big it is. That's what we're trying to grow it to. Like, we're all just in here chipping in to help each other. You know, there's 37,000 soldiers on Fort Hood. So we're trying to get half of them to sign up so that we're really taking care of everybody that comes in. You know, because I get calls from First Sergeants all the time. Like, hey, I got a soldier I need to send over here, blah, blah. Yep, send them top. You know, I'll get taken care of. We'll get him food, whatever he needs, clothes, furniture, whatever. We'll get him squared away. And we usually do. 99.9% of the time, we get them everything they need. There's that 0.1% that sometimes it's just their ask is out of our lane.
Sure.
But for the most part, we help everybody out. And the Phantom Corps is basically our core donation-driven process. Because even people that don't come and use a pantry, but they want to help us, they sign up for that because it's a monthly, once a month donation, just come out $20. It's 67 cents a day. It's not going to kill anybody. You know, it's basically don't go to Starbucks once this week and then don't go to McDonald's once this month. And that covers your $20 that you would spend on both of those so you could donate to a nonprofit that's helping so many people. Yeah. You know, we average, on a non-COVID situation, we average about 4,000 plus soldiers and veterans a month that go through the food pantry, about 100 birthday cakes a month that we do. And then we did 500 plus kids for backpacks last year, 800 kids for Christmas toys last year. We did about 37 car repairs last year. And I think we did 22 tire replacements. And then, of course, we have the special needs program. So, you know, last year we assisted over 46,000 soldiers and veterans came through our programs. 46,000 soldiers and veterans came through and either got help with food, clothes, furniture, backpacks, births, you know, all that. All that added up to 46,000 people that used our services last year, just here locally in Central Texas. So, and that's pretty much been the average. I think the lowest number we had was the first year was 41,000. And then every year after that, it's been 42, 44, 45, 45, 46, 47. So now this year, we think we're going to be closer to 47,000, 48,000 because we're just doing more numbers.
That's the impact is it's hard to really kind of put that into perspective. You know, that my $20 is going to help.
Yeah, well, that's what I tell people. Your $240 donation for the year. $240 for the whole year is going to help 47,000 plus people. Yeah. Even if you don't use it. Now, if you need to use it, great. Come use it because we want you to use it if you need it. But if you don't, that $20 is making that big of an impact. So you know at the end of the year when you get your tax receipt from us, that $240, because you get a stat from me because I send stats to everybody at the end of the year when I send out their receipts at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is how many people we assisted this year because of your ability to donate to us. This is what we were able to accomplish because of your support. And they see those numbers, how many birthday cakes were done, how many Christmas toy presents were given out, how many backpacks, how many people went through the food pantry, how many people got, you know, whatever. So we let them all know that that's what your donation went to. It didn't go in anybody's pocket.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we use the administrative stuff. Plus, I started 3 or 4 businesses to help funnel money into the nonprofit so we can pay for the administrative part of it. So we're using the donations 100% for the programs not having to, you know, I started a Sergeant Ritter Spirits, which is like a vodka and a whiskey and that kind of thing. And I have Combat Coffee. I have Combat Boxes, which is a subscription box service that only provides veteran-owned products in it. So I've been doing that now. I've been growing that business. So, but all the profits we make off it, I funnel into the nonprofit.
That's awesome.
So we can support the nonprofit where we got more of the administrative costs covered from for-profit businesses, not from donations. So that's what we've been trying to get to. Because I'm trying to get to 100% of our donations go right to the program. And hopefully by the end of this year, we'll be there.
So you mentioned your website. What is that website?
It is www.phantomsupport.org. Phantom like Phantom of the Opera, support all one word, .org. Facebook.com/OPS Fort Hood. And then that's where they can get to there. And you can just search Operation Phantom Support on Facebook. It pops up relatively quick.
Right, right. And all your contact information is on both of
those. On both the webpage. You can call us, email us. Our phone number is on the webpage, the Facebook page, phone number, email address. Everything's there. So you can reach out to us, contact us. You got any questions, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be able to answer any questions you have out there if you got questions. We'd love to have you come volunteer, and we would appreciate anybody willing to make donations because, every month, it's all about raising money in a nonprofit, and it's a struggle, especially right now because there's not, you know, this area doesn't have a lot of disposable income, I have to tell people. You know, the median income here isn't that high. Yeah. But there are families out there that do have a little bit of disposable income that could afford to donate, you know, $10 or $20 a month. Because I tell them all the time, if you're not going to use the programs, you're like, say, for instance, like myself, I don't use the programs, but I donate $100 a month to show the soldiers that come in here, like, look, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm donating $100, and I don't even use the pantry. I don't use the birthday cake program out, but I'm here. But I'm showing you that I'm donating just to support your family and mine if I need it. And that, and I tell people, even if you can only afford $5, you want to just donate $5 a month, but you do it for the whole year, you know, it helps us. So what, sure. No matter what you can afford to do, if you can afford to, I have a couple, here's a funny thing. I have a couple that lives in Indiana, not even in the state. They mail me a check for $22 every single month.
That's awesome.
Now, I've sent them coins. I've sent them a lot of stuff in the mail because personally for me, that has a bigger impact on me than the donation I get through the website or whatever, because it's a personal check that they take the time to fill out every month and mail it to me. And to me, that it touches my heart that these people live in Indiana, but they're so patriotic and so supportive of soldiers and veterans that they make sure every month they send me that $22 check.
Awesome.
And they're just two amazing human beings. As a matter of fact, I even sent them some brownies for Christmas. I sent them a thank you card at Christmas for me personally, and sent them a couple brownies, and just to say, hey, you guys, your donation matters. It matters. You know, it matters. So we appreciate everything that comes through.
That's awesome. Well, John, thanks very much for this, like I said, maiden voyage of the Hometown Heroes.
Thanks for bringing me on board. Yeah.
Good luck to you guys, and God bless you for everything you're doing.
Yeah, God bless you, Tom. And thank you for coming
thanks.
In.
This has been another episode of Armor of God Radio's Hometown Heroes, a series dedicated to our local heroes, folks that you live and work with every day, and a series where you can decide the content. Nominate your hometown hero, the person you know who's making life in Central Texas better for all of us. You can submit your hero directly to me via email at tom@armorofgodradio.com. or on any of our new social media platforms, like Gab or MeWe. Remember, Armor of God Radio is 100% listener-supported. We are here because you want us here, and because someone else needs us here. God bless our heroes, and God bless America. Saint Joseph, terror of demons, pray for us.